Hello, fellow travelers, and welcome to the Traverse in the Stars podcast. Today's special guest is William Tokarski. You know him from Welcome to Flash, which you can find on Hulu and on Fox. Now come join me as we go traversing the stars. Hello, Mr. Tokarski. Thank you so much for coming to the Traverse in the Stars podcast.
Hey, my name is Bill, and I'm an out. No. Oh, wait a second. This is a different Zoom meeting. I'm sorry. This is Jeff's Zoom meeting.
Indeed it is.
Yeah, and hi, Jeff.
It's definitely my pleasure to have you on. I enjoy watching Welcome to Flash.
Cool.
Now, I read a very interesting thing about you. I read that prior to becoming an actor, you worked at General Motors. Is that correct?
That's what I did.
And you only entered acting after you retired.
Correct.
Well, first off, I will say congratulations on retirement. I guess that didn't last very long for you.
I retired back in like 2009. Basically, they closed a local plant.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I hung around and drew unemployment, and then I retired when I was 62. So, I mean,
wow.
I was fairly young. That's 2009 is my official retirement date.
Mm.
But so it's just been something I fell into.
So I'm guessing retirement didn't suit you. You decided after apparently only like a little while, you said, screw this. I don't want to be retired anymore. I'm going to find some other type of job to work.
Not really. Not really. What occurred was, is I'm just like everybody else. I'm a big fan. And Bill Murray and Robert Duvall were filming a lovely little movie in this little town that I live in. The movie was called Get Low. It's a great film. It never got national distribution. I think it was one of Duvall's passion projects.
Mm.
And they had a funeral home set up out of an old home. And they were shooting through a screen door to the street. And, you know, I just came by, stood in the park to see Murray and Duvall. Well, the band pulled up and, you know, in and out. You didn't see anybody. But I spoke to some people that were working as extras, just walking up and down the street, you know, deep extra. I said, well, that sounds like fun. You know, you might enjoy it. So I started doing that. And I don't know, about a year later, I was on the set of Hunger Games Catching Fire, a District 13 vagrant, as it would be. And I signed up to do 6 days, I believe. And on the fifth day, I got back at lunch and got my phone out. You're not supposed to have your phone on set. And I looked and there was a message from the lady that was doing the casting. She said, you have a speaking line next week with Jennifer Lawrence, if you want it.
Oh, nice. That's a nice little offer. If you want, I had the edit with if you want it, like, nah, screw that. I'm not going to talk to Jennifer Lawrence.
Well, I didn't think it was real. I figured somebody got hold of Rose, was her name, got hold of Rose's phone and was screwing with me. But it was real. And I delivered the line, you want to get him killed, as she breaks through the crowd to save her boyfriend from a peacekeeper.
Mm.
Well, I worked 2 days and made $2,400.
Nice.
A couple of 14-hour days. Blockbusters, you know, have big budgets. But the neat thing was I had this little, I thought it was a Taj Mahal trailer. It was a honey wagon, a little slot in the where the bathrooms are. And the morning, one morning, there's a knock on a door. It's the production assistant. He said, Mr. Tokarski, the director is having a pre-production meeting. If you'd like to join him, Woody, and Jennifer. Yeah, I want to join. I sat like a mouse in a corner and didn't say a word. But I enjoyed the treatment. Okay? Now, since that day, that movie has gone into streaming and free TV. And I've drawn about 6,000 in residuals.
Nice.
So, and here's the kicker. It was cut from the final version. I'm just deep background what I was doing for $7.50 an hour or whatever. But it's okay. It's actually on my resume because it was a SAG contract. It was my first contract. So I decided, hell, this is nice. This is lucrative. It's not hard work. I mean, if you've ever put a roof on in summertime, that's hard work. Acting's not hard work. So I says, well, I'm going to go ahead and pursue this. So I ran down to the SAG office, and talked to the executive director and says, I'm going to join SAG. She said to me, Billy, she called me Billy. She said, Billy, I'll take your money, but why don't you go out and work some, do some non-union films, get an agent, go to some classes, that sort of thing. So 2 years later, I joined SAG and I've never regretted ever since.
So that's an amazing story. Like, you kind of, it just kind of fell in your lap in a weird way.
Yes.
That's a hell of a story. I mean, I guarantee there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of actors who would kill for that kind of story.
Now, I was doing extra work on Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, which is a great little show on Adult Swim. It went to Hulu for a while streaming, and now it's on HBO Max streaming. And for our little shameless promo here, for our season 5, we did full animation. So I've done 2 episodes where I haven't seen it yet, but I did some voice work in the studio. So it was fun. But long story short, I'm familiar with how things work. So I just, got bumped on that show, Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell. And a young lady who I'm friends with told my agent, she says, you ought to sign this guy. So, and I just happened to meet her. My agent's name is Jenna Van Dyke. I call her the lovely Jenna Van Dyke. She was at a meet and greet. They have mixers here in Atlanta. I'm sure they do in LA and New York too, but called Get Connected. And she was taking headshots one day. And so I told her, I says, I want you to be my agent. Yeah, she impressed me. And she told me later, she got together with me and we had a meeting. She says, I will sign you, but I want you to take an acting class. She gave me a list of few places to go. I want you to learn so you don't embarrass me. Now, my very first instructor, I chose a great little school in Atlanta called Drama Inc. They were in, I think, their 2nd or 3rd year. And my instructor was Jason McDonald and his wife. In Welcome to Flatch, guess who I play opposite? Jason McDonald.
Very cool.
So it's a big circle. It's a big circle. I think this is human interest as far as I'm concerned. The fact that I had no desire to act. Both my children were stage actors in high school and even afterwards. But stage actors are different folks. They actually want to act and project. Whereas when you do something on film, you do the same damn thing 27 times. And it's like, the famous scene of Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall up the stairs, 125 takes on that scene. So yeah, it's different. It's not the same. It doesn't have the romance. But stage acting doesn't have any money. And for me, that's what got me in it in the beginning. I'm going to make a little money. Then, I don't really have any talent. I'm 74 years old. I can't remember shit anymore. But I have I'm like Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash couldn't play music worth shit. But he developed a sound that was unique and became very popular. Well, I have a look that's unique. I have a face like a foot. So this is what I capitalize on.
Hey, if that works, though, I mean, like you said, the money is good. And at any point, did the acting bug actually bite and, you know, become more of a passion, or was it strictly of interest?
I was very lucky and got booked on Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. I thought it was a great scene. They did well. I made a lot of money on that one. I was booked for one day. And we shot the scene that I did. I'm sure you've seen it. And a tornado came through. And everybody had to leave the set and go inside, go to the basement. So when we came back out, the tornado never touched down. It just came through on the radar. So when everybody came back out, the assistant director said to me, "Hey, can you come back tomorrow? The turnaround on your scene where they shoot from the other direction, we're going to do it tomorrow because we rented one of these expensive cameras that's on a cable like on the football games to do that bizarre scene where they follow them. And yeah, and we'll do yours tomorrow. Can you come back tomorrow?" I said, "Of course I can come back tomorrow. Another contract, another $1,000. Yeah." Overnight, the director wrote another scene for me and Kevin Hart. If you're familiar, the scene he wrote was not used. But what he wrote was, as everybody's running out of the bazaar, they run past me in order. And Kevin Hart's character is extremely slow. And he runs by me and sees me as the guy that did him bad with pound cake. Turns around and punches me out, and I go ass over teacups. That nice. Was the scene. We spent 3 days, two more additional days working on that. And then second unit that does all the stunts, I'm in the background for these things. And they say, "Well, we got to get a stuntman that looks like him and dress him like him, or we can hire him for another 4 more days. So I worked another 4 days. I made $11,000. In a week's time, and that thing has really paid residuals.
Yeah.
I got a granddaughter going to school in Tennessee, and I bought her a brand new car to go to school with the residuals. So yeah, it's fun. It's interesting. But being bit when I did Jumanji, I figured, man, I'm going to do, you know, and I'm going to become a real actor. And I got a manager. I talked to my agent. She said, "I'll work with this lady." And they kept sending me like 10 pages of dialogue, and I couldn't remember it. Mm. You know, I mean, I'm perfectly honest. So after about a year of that, I said, "No, I'm just going to go back with my agent." And she does me cute little things where, you know, I mean, that's what I do in Flatch. Mm. Did you watch episode 106?
Yes, I did.
That's the biggest dialogue I have. Yeah. Every other thing is pop in, get a laugh, steal the scene, and leave. Yeah.
And I think it's really cool that, you know, that whole story. When you went to those acting classes that you said you went to, were you able to learn from those? And how many did you end up going to?
Well, I went to a class called On Camera One, and it's for people just starting out. And they teach you about an eye line. They teach you about marks, that you have to hit a mark. And I didn't know that when I did Hunger Games. So that's probably why my scene got cut. And they, you know, they teach you the basics of it. And then they go through, I think it's a week long. It's like 6 or 7 days long. And like they'll do one day where you do the impromptu interview. Where you, if you're smart and you're in an interview and it's a live audition, you have a humorous story in your back pocket. You know, that sort of thing, which is a little trick of the trade where you don't come off and look stupid. You want to be interesting to these people. And how to cheat with dialogue and how to taped auditions is the thing now. But and how to do an audition and how to You know, and then we would practice, we'd get an assignment, we would do it, tape it, and then everybody else in the class would critique it.
It's very
so,
cool.
Yeah, it was great. I took an on-camera class with them. I took a class on an acting technique called the Chubbuck Method, which is basically, remember that high school teacher that beat the shit out of you, so when you're mad at somebody, so you get that right expression. But I've raised a couple of kids, 3 grandchildren, and I'm working on a great-grandson now who's almost 2 years old and lives with me. So I have learned how to do play pretend. So I just do play pretend. I don't deliver a whole lot of dialogue because little kids are not really interested in a little dialogue. So, you know, the lesson I've learned is you have to be original. You want to be successful, you have to be original. If you follow the herd like everyone else does, you're constantly going to step in shit when you're following the herd. Yeah. So yeah, I try to be original. So one of my things is I play the town drunk. And every interview I've got a beer with me. But in reality, it's Diet Coke. But it's just a, you know, it's just presenting yourself as somebody that they want. I'm retired. I have a nice pension from General Motors. I put some money in a 401k. My house is paid for. My cars are paid for. So when I go into that audition room, there's no desperation on my part. Mm. I book it or I don't. Whereas these younger folks go into that audition room, they've got to eat the next day. They're desperate. And they can smell that. So I don't know. I just do what I do. It surprises me what I book and what I don't book. You know, it's like you never know what they're looking for.
It kind of reminds me back in the day, I used to do commission sales. I used to sell mattresses and furniture and things of that nature and lawn care. And the more anxious I was to make the sale, the less sales I made. It's like the more you wanted something, the less people wanted to actually deal with you. The times it worked is when I was indifferent or I was on a hot streak and I didn't care if the sale got made or not. And it's kind of funny. Like I said, the moment you actually, people tell that you really want something, the less like the more the like thing being like repulsed by the interest you have in doing something.
I think that's a human nature, but I don't know. The other thing is I don't overthink things. When I got the script for Jumanji, I was talking to a character named Beth. Nowhere did it tell me it was Jack Black. So if I'd have done all the research, I'd try to play to Jack Black. So I just played to Bethany, and I liked it. Yeah. Mm.
So, as you mentioned earlier, you played Len in Welcome to Flatch. So how do you get involved in this project?
An audition from my agent. This is neat. I think a lot of people lost projects because of COVID. I'll tell you about Florida Girls. I lost Florida Girls because of COVID. But for this show, I was booked for one show, a pilot. Did a taped audition. The scene in episode one where I flip somebody off and tell them the potatoes had worms in them, I think was my dialogue. And then I was supposed to do a introduction story as if I lived in Flatch. Hmm. So I'm a Pittsburgh boy. So I just put Pittsburgh in my mind and just talked about living downtown and, you know, that sort of thing. So whatever it is, they booked me for the pilot. Great. Wilmington, North Carolina is where we filmed it. It's 7 hours away. I get in my car and I drive up there on Monday to film on Tuesday. I'm in a restaurant eating a hamburger. The producer says, we're shutting it down because of COVID.
Oh, man.
The two young kids in that show, Holmes Holmes and Sam Straley, filmed 10 hours that Monday. You know, they worked some things without me. Fox gave them a 14-episode contract on just those 10 hours.
Oh, wow.
So now normally in a pilot, what will happen is every executive has to make a change. I don't like Lynn. Get somebody that's fatter, or, you know, I want this guy, or they'll make changes. Well, they sat on this thing for 6 months, and then they got the green light in November, from March to November. And so we all went back, and I had a 6-episode contract. So they're going to try me out and see how I do. I've still got that same attitude. You know, I'm not going to die if I drop a word. You know, I apprenticed at Adult Swim. Adult Swim is just a fantastic place to work. What they do is they do a scene and they're on book for maybe the first two or three takes. After that, everybody goes whatever way they want to go.
Yeah.
And you never know what they're going to use until they edit. And their editing process is the editor and four other people sitting on a couch and all looking at huge. They invited me one time to an edit session. So that's where I apprenticed. So it's like, this is not how you normally act. Yeah, but it's what I do. So that's what I did with Lynn. And, you know, they were happy with it. You know, and my inability to remember long dialogue, they don't seem to be too upset with that. I'll sit on my cheat sheet and look at what I'm going to say. I may drop a word, add a word. I drop the ones they don't need and add the ones that I like. So it's okay. I don't know if everybody's happy with me. I'll find out if there's a season two. They have me back.
So when you got the role of Len, what did they tell you about the character to help you work it out?
Well, the story I tell now is Len was described as a curmudgeon with a slight drinking problem. So the casting director in Atlanta tried something different. Instead of hiring an accomplished actor that could play a curmudgeon with a slight drinking problem, he just booked a curmudgeon with a drinking problem. So my performances are memorable because I'm not really acting. I'm just playing myself.
that's definitely a way to do a method acting, I guess, on some level, right?
It is a method. Yeah, it is a method.
Well, Welcome to Flash, which is, a really cool comedy. It takes place in a very small town. And you said you came from a small town. So was the town like Flash that you came from?
It's actually about the same size. Flash has more amenities than we had. I lived in suburban Pittsburgh. So it was like your little town is here, but the pizza place might be in the next town over, which is, you know, maybe 2 miles down the road. It was a little more densely populated. Flatch is a little sparsely populated, but the unique characters are there. I mean, I went to school with these characters, so I know. I purposefully never watched the British version, This Country, because I didn't want to imitate Len. Now, I've watched it since. But I didn't want to imitate Len. I just wanted to be me. So it seems to work. After I did the 6 episodes, they gave me a contract for 6 more episodes. So I'm in 12 of the 14 episodes. Although I may just be a blink, I'm there.
So in Welcome to Flash, is it all shot on location or is it like backlot?
It's pretty much location shooting. Bergall, North Carolina is the main city that it's shot in. They have done a few things near a warehouse, which they call a studio. But originally it was set to do a studio in Wilmington, North Carolina, Screen Gems Studio. But because of COVID, someone else is now booked in that time. So they had to do the hot mess dance to come up with what they got. So basically a studio is just a big building, and, you know, where they can set things up that it won't get rained on. You know? And a lot of location shots. The episode 106 that I like was shot in a Methodist church in Bergall. That's all for real. The funeral was actually in the actual church itself. And the computer classes were in the rec area, social hall or whatever they call it. So yeah, we're on location mostly, but it's all within a drive from downtown Wilmington. Mm. And I'm sure there is some studio work, but I haven't really done studio work. People's carports, people's houses. My house in Welcome to Flatch is a unique people that I really want to meet, because I think I can get some ideas from them that actually live in that house.
Yeah,
I'm working on getting a pet raccoon, because the landlord never only told me I couldn't have dogs or cats. So I'm going to try to sell that to Paul Figg and Jenny Bix.
Well, like I said, the episode that was so good that we've been talking about is called R.I.P. Cynthia, where Len thinks he's found a love online. This woman, Cynthia, who there's some question of, is she a real person or not, obviously, by the characters around him. So how much fun was that episode to shoot? And what did you learn about the character of Len in having that episode?
Well, I learned that Len actually has some emotions. He's not just a drunk. I mean, he was married to Martha for years, you know, and I had to display some emotion to that. So he's actually a caring person, but he puts on a facade for the people around him, and is curt, and my Len drinks. And I think I did that. They put a glass in my hand now quite often, which is okay.
Mm.
It stays with my brand that I'm selling.
So in that, a lot of that episode, you play alongside Sean William Scott and also Sam Straley. Excellent. So I was just going to say, what are they like being with? And since Sean William Scott has a long history of comedy, was there anything you're able to learn from watching him, who once again has been immersed in comedy almost his entire career?
He is a consummate actor. He is professional. He is good. He is friendly and helpful. I'll tell you who is the best actor on that show is Aya Cash.
Yeah.
Who plays Cheryl, Father Joe's love interest. Episode 8 coming up, I run into Cheryl doing an interview on the street. And this is a noisy street. Told you I'm an old man. I don't hear well. And I couldn't hear my cue from her. So I never brought my dialogue in that she asked it. And she just jumped up and says, "Hey, Len, I hadn't seen you in a while." So we didn't lose that take. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's very, very, very good. Sam was the first one that greeted me when I went up there and got a turnaround. And I think Sam was a fan from something I did back in 2014 called Too Many Cooks.
Mm.
Are you familiar with that one?
I'm not actually familiar with that one, to be honest with you.
Oh, well, see, that's what opened the doors for me. The people that do Adult Swim come up with this thing called Too Many Cooks that went viral. And when you've got 11 minutes that you know, will never get back, just Google Too Many Cooks and it'll be there.
All right.
It's got about 21 million views on it right now. I get stopped by people at the gas station and do selfies with him for that one.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any press connecting me from Too Many Cooks to Flatch yet, but maybe this podcast will.
Oh, I will. I'll definitely put it in the notes. I'll make sure people know about it.
Yes.
So, well, one.
I play a killer in Too Many Cooks.
Oh, that must have been fun.
With a machete.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, do you prefer playing kind of like the heavy guy, or like Flatch, where kind of more comic relief?
I'm open for anything. Most of the jobs I got in the beginning were just day player roles where they pull up and you say, yeah, that building burned down 3 years ago and that's it. You're just there to move the story along. And one of my acting instructors says, just say the damn words, Bill, just say the damn words. And then when you do more, you get to do more, and then you get more meaty things. Typically, I hadn't done much in the way of comedy, but when I did Jumanji, that turned out funny. And I don't think it was written funny, but it turned out funny. So yeah. Maybe that helped in Flatch, but Flatch is a flat-out comedy. So, Yeah, I love it. I mean, I hope to do more comedies. I just flow with it.
Well, like I said, the cool thing about the episode we're talking about, R.I.P. Cynthia, is that it not only is it really funny, but because everyone is saying the character of Cynthia isn't a real person, that it's one of those online scams and stuff like that. But without giving too many spoilers away, there seems to be some indication that she actually was a real person. Now, if Flatch keeps running, do you kind of hope the character of Cynthia comes back and they kind of explore that a little bit further?
That could happen. I saw the whole thing on the table read, but the girl that played Cynthia wasn't there for the table read. One of the producers read it. So I wanted to meet her and I never got a chance to meet her. But eventually I will. And I think with this show, if it goes to episode two, a lot of the characters will come back because it's a small town. And one of the things I did in episode one, I told you I came out of background. So they're shooting a scene with Holmes and her dad, played by Jason McDonald. So I did a cross in the background. I just walked by. You know, they were lining up extras to walk by. I joined them and walked through. And I think I should, because in the real world, these characters are going to be there eating a popsicle or drinking a beer or whatever in the background without being part of the storyline. So I'll mention that to the powers that be. But that's one of the things I like to do. And I've met a lot of the background. I've become friends with them because that's where I came from.
And like you said, I do think having someone in the show like Cynthia or not really did give way more facets to Len and allowed, you know, as you mentioned earlier, to explore the character, to explore interactions among the characters with it. And I think they do, if it is a season two, they should bring back Cynthia and really have that that romance play out.
I will share that.
You definitely should. And let them know Traversing the Stars said so.
I will. I think they're open. I'll give you a good example. In Naked Lady Day, did you see that one?
Yes.
Naked Lady Day, this show is set up as a mockumentary. So they interviewed June, who was played by Karen. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, right. Played by Karen. And anyway, long story short, they interviewed her as part of the mockumentary. And she said, the only thing Len has drawn is attention to his drinking problem. So I jumped up in the table read and says, the only drinking problem I have is when I can't get a drink. They put it in the show. Now, it didn't make the final cut. And there's a lot of things that don't make the final cut because in a half hour show, you got 22, 23 minutes. So, yeah. Episode three, where Sam is selling all the treasure maps to make money. I had a button on the end of that show where at night I used a treasure map and dug up Colonel Flatch's gold pouch with coins with gold pouch in it. It never made the cut. But the idea is they'll put things in, and then time constraints with a television show, they'll sacrifice some things. Mm. But they have a Facebook page where they'll put these cut scenes up on it.
Well, I thought it was so cool that online I saw the short that they did for Len. They did like a character short for Len. I thought it was so cool that, you know, for all these characters, they had little shorts for on YouTube. And I got to watch them. And I thought it was really cool.
There was a promotion deal out of LA, a promo company that came around, and in between takes, we did these things that they're going to put on Instagram and put on Twitter and put on Facebook to build their base. You know, they've done something unique with this show in that the first 7 episodes are available on Hulu and Fox Now streaming. So in my mind, what they're doing is they're trying to get young folks like you who stream to develop a rapport with the characters so you'll come back to Thursday nights at 9:30. So anybody that likes the show and wants to see a season 2, be sure and watch episode 8, which will be May sometime. I should add that number, but episode 8 will be the first one that's not streamed in advance. Mm. And they're going to see if their numbers go up, so they're capturing the younger generation.
Yeah. I found something kind of interesting. Like when I watched it on YouTube on my TV, it was $2.99 an episode, but on my phone, the episodes I could find them for free. So it's just a little tip for my fans out there. Check on your YouTube, go to your phone if you don't want to, you know, and you can find Flatch. But yeah, it was there. It was on Hulu. I think it's on something called Vudu or something like that. I mean, it's on a lot of places you can find it. Apple Plus has
Fox
the first five.
Now is on everybody's platform if they go there, and they've got all 7 episodes there. In fact, an old fart like me that still has cable TV. Mm-hmm. Cable TV has on demand, where you can watch shows on demand. They had all 7 episodes on our cable TV on demand, you know, so I could sit and watch them without ever having to stream. I'm going to get dragged kicking and screaming into the streaming world. I have a large screen, a plasma TV. I don't think they make them anymore. But it's not smart. We got a smart one in the bedroom. So I'm gradually getting into streaming. Mm. My 2-year-old loves Amazon. I mean, there's just anything and everything, and it's all basically free. I mean, you can buy things, but I mean, there's so much for kids to watch.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, if you want to see Welcome to Flash, our listeners, you can find it. If you have Apple Plus, it's on there, but those episodes you do have to purchase, but you can find it on Apple Plus. I mean, it's on I think Amazon had a link to it as well. I mean, it's out there. If you have streaming, you can find anything. Anything is there to be found on streaming. So Welcome to Flash is all over streaming. You know, so our listeners, hopefully they find it.
It's a well-written show.
Have you heard anything about a season 2? Is there talk of it, or do they sound like they're definitely going
to
do one?
They plan from day 1 to do a season 2. But the numbers on the original first few episodes were the lowest of any new show on Fox. So I think that's where they come up with this idea of streaming the first 7 episodes and see if they could, because you got to develop a rapport with these characters. Mm. Sam and, or rather, Shrub and Kelly are kind of unique, and they're basically new to this industry. But I mean, it's a heartwarming show as well as being funny, but you've got to watch the episodes to say, oh yeah, you know, so yeah. Well, they planned on a season 2 from beginning, and it's like, gee, shall I make plans to go to Wilmington? You know? I don't know.
Well, I mean, definitely in favor of Welcome to Flash is that it can't be that expensive a show to produce. So they think that would encourage them to try to keep going with it.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I think initially their budget was wide open, and I think they tightened up near the end. But I believe it's a Fox favorite. I believe there's someone in the home office that likes that idea. And I don't know whether it's they like Paul Feig so much or they like Jenny Bick so much. But one of them, too, is my hero that wanted me there. And I haven't really figured out who it is yet. They haven't tipped their hand.
Well, Mr. Tokarski, it's definitely a pleasure talking with you about Flash. And I hope our listeners do tune in. And I hope there's a second season. When there is, you come back and you talk about it.
Thank you so much.
It's definitely my pleasure, sir.
Look for me in a movie coming up. It'll either be called Samuel or it'll be called Brothers. And I'm prison cellmates with Peter Dinklage, and I'll let it go at that.
Oh, very cool. Do we know when that one's coming out?
Sometime this year. I finished it in October. Yeah.
Well, you have my email. When it's ready to come out, come back on and talk about it.
I sure will.
Very cool, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.